today's episode of the Brains Bite Back podcast, we speak with Adam Lawrence, co-founder and CEO of Boom & Bucket, a trusted digital dealer for buying and selling used heavy equipment. In this episode, you'll learn how Boom & Bucket first started, why they decided on the name Boom & Bucket for the company in the first place, and you'll also learn how using secondhand heavy machinery contributes to reducing carbon footprint and waste in the construction industry. I hope you liked today's episode.
Adam Lawrence, founder and CEO of Boom & Bucket. What we do, we're the largest website for buying and selling used construction equipment online. And so everything from a tractor to a bulldozer to cranes, you can buy it online and get it delivered to your place of business a few days later.
Fantastic. I love how simple that is. You know, we're a tech podcast, so sometimes people come on and it's like, I have to like get them to break it down further. They're using all this jargon. And that's, I think, one of the simplest, most straightforward kind of explanations I've had on the show. So I appreciate it. I'm sure our listeners do too. And I also want to know, like, when and how did Boom & Bucket first start?
We've been at it kind of 2 years as a founding team. The kind of backgrounds of how we got here, I think, is, you know, goes over the course of a decade plus. I have two co-founders, Aaron and Samir. They sold a company to Caterpillar in 2017. So like the big yellow machine company that you see. And then they stayed and helped run Cat Digital Labs, which is the innovation department of Caterpillar, for a few years. I was running a very large payments business, so like e-commerce payments business, and I had left in 2020. And I met Samir, and I had this idea that I wanted to stay in e-commerce or B2B marketplaces. I wanted to be in a big market. I wanted to be in a market where you could do the sale and the financing and the shipping and the logistics and the things around the sale in order to get a great customer experience. And Samir had insights on how to do that online, particularly by leveraging data to better represent kind of the condition and quality of these things that we sell. So we started working on it late 2020. In early 21, we convinced a crazy person to give us some equipment to sell, you know, just like two dudes who were cold calling at that time. And I mean, actually cold calling because it was the middle of COVID in California, so we couldn't really knock on doors as much as we would have liked. We incorporated the company in April of 21, so basically 2 years ago, only because some crazy person was like willing to buy a piece of equipment from a sight unseen and ship it halfway across the country, and we needed a bank account to take the payment. Raised a little money after that. So we raised a venture round in 21, started building the team towards the end of that year. And so, you know, three co-founders, hired a great head of ops, a head of engineering, and started building around them. We launched February of last year. So we've been in the market for like a year with what you see today, which is boombucket.com. And, you know, we're probably the fastest growing, you know, company of our type, not just online, but, you know, the numbers that we're beginning to hit in our first year would make us a pretty large regional player in terms of an equipment dealer, equipment broker.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, that's so incredible to hear that you have come so far in 2 years. I mean, that's really outstanding. And I have to say, I love the fact that your emphasis of a crazy person being really at the core of your startup story. And I have to say, I'm pretty sure that every kind of startup story must at some point have some kind of crazy person in it.
There's one crazy person that's got to believe in you, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah,
exactly. I've seen like everybody's seen the video of like the person dancing at the gorge like by themselves at a concert, and they're the yeah. initial one that's crazy, and then they get a crowd mm-hmm. of people to dance around them, and now it's a movement. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that first person sparks a movement, and they, you know, that first customer is so important.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought that video up because I think that perfectly highlights it, and I really want to know, Boom & Bucket, what's the story behind that name? Because it sounds like a TV show or a movie about like two characters or something like that. What? How'd you come up with that?
That's great. You know, so we had a list of probably 50 things that we thought about calling the company. And if you go and look in the space, like all the websites are kind of yellow and black. There's a lot of like faux steel on the websites. Or there's a lot of like first name, last name equipment company, you know, Todd Smith Equipment Company. Nothing against Todd Smith, but we wanted something that, one, to kind of your point, like could stand out a little bit, like the alliteration. And then a boom is a component of a machine, as is the bucket. And so, you know, it works for our space. But really, we wanted something that we felt like you could build an iconic logo and brand around. And so, you know, the name is one thing, the color scheme is another, it's red, white, and blue, the mark's another, it's a simple line drawing an excavator that evokes movement. we thought we wanted to build kind of an iconic Americana brand, something that if you saw the name and the logo 50 years from now, it would still resonate. And so that was the goal in terms of naming, in terms of the design of the initial mark.
Awesome. Well, I do love the alliteration. It's very fun to say. And on a completely separate note, I really enjoy having startups on that are having a real impact in the world, and especially when it comes to like sustainability. And I know that you folks do play a role in that. So I really want to pose the question to you, like, how can using secondhand heavy machinery contribute to reducing carbon footprint and waste in the construction industry?
Good question. So the really interesting thing about these machines, they're huge and they get reused and recycled in ways that you would never imagine. So one of those very large bulldozers or very large earth scrapers that you'd see is like the ones that are moving mountains. Everything on that except the frame is a consumable. And so at 10 or 12,000 hours, the engine would get replaced and it would get upgraded to the most modern emission standards. And then that would happen again and maybe again over the course of the machine. And so yeah, there's really interesting articles that you see of, you know, some of these very large bulldozers that were produced in the late 70s and early 80s still being used today and having 100,000 hours on the frame, but having gone through, you know, 7 or 8 engines. And so we're an integral part of that economy in the sense that we help people find and reuse those things as opposed to, you know, buying something that uses an incredible amount of resources. So we'd like to think that we're helping there. I would say we're not characterized as like a green company. We don't overtly tell people that we're something that we're not. Like, we help people buy used equipment to run and push their businesses forward, but there's a very nice component in terms of the recycle and reuse of it.
I can see how it like plays a role, even if that maybe isn't your driving intention. And to be quite honest, it's quite interesting because I had a guest on recently that was Semex Ventures, I called, and they focus on innovation in the construction industry. And it's really just become so apparent to me how important the construction industry is, I suppose, within these conversations, in the sense that right now we're facing such a tough housing crisis, or at least certainly I can speak for the UK. And I suppose the only thing I wanted to say on that is like it really rings home, like now more than ever we need to be smarter, I suppose, more prepared, or just like more innovative when it comes to the construction industry. But you probably know more about that than I do. I'm literally coming into this as a novice.
And no, I think it's true. We think about that a lot, that the traditional notion of thinking about the construction industry would be thinking about unskilled laborers doing things. That's not the way that it is in any case. Like, the most successful construction companies are masters in mitigating and understanding risk to eke out a profit margin. And it's a thin profit margin, but it's on a high dollar amount. And so somebody like us that has a huge amount of data about machine conditioning, is it in good condition or is it not in good condition, means that they can eke out a few extra percentage points. Likewise, we know the intricacies of seasonality, when to sell and when to buy equipment. We know the fair market price for everything. We're experts in terms of financing it. And so we think that we really help power this incredibly important part of the global economy. And that's on the macro sense. On the micro sense, you know, there's a ton of fun stories that we have about mom and pop operators buying a single machine. And that single machine provides, you know, income for their families and their laborers and their teams. Because these things at the end of the day, they really buy them to make money. And money is the lifeblood of how people survive in the economy. And so, you know, we help people down that journey quite a bit. And so it's fun to see it both at a very large scale and a micro scale.
Yeah, I can imagine that's very rewarding, definitely. And I also want to say, like, you have seen so much success, and it's so clear that you're doing great things in this space. And I want to know, like, are there other companies operating this space? And if so, like, how do you differentiate yourselves from the competition?
Are there companies operating in this space? Yeah, there's a ton. The biggest global player in our space, though, and our space is kind of $300 billion of used industrial assets get traded every single year across the world. The biggest player has 2% market share. And so there's a huge number of people in here. And, you know, it ranges from when you drive outside of a major city in the US, you know, you're driving outside of Dallas, you'll see, you know, probably 20 used equipment lots. And it's usually, you know, Todd Smith, Mike Brown, used equipment, you know, something like that. And they're at subscale. You know, they don't have the access to data to underwrite the conditioning. It's all look and feel and touch. The reputation for a lot of those places aren't great because they rarely interact with the same buyer again. So we do have competition, but not in the same way that I think of it as an infinite game. I want you, Samuel, to buy from me this time, next time, the time after, the 10th time, the 20th time that you need equipment over the course of your career. And I think that's a very different way of looking at this industry than most people do. Most people are used to go in a dirt field, looking at a piece of equipment. That piece of equipment's next to something that's in worse condition, something that's in better condition. And then they do an auction, oftentimes in that same dirt field. Everything's sold as is, where is. You have to get your own shipping. You have to secure your own financing. And so it's not a user-friendly environment. The way that we think about this is that I want it to be a lot more like consumer shopping, like you and I maybe going and looking for a car online or a house during COVID, than an old school auction in a dirt field.
That makes absolute sense. And I love the fact that you brought up the infinite game there. That's something, to me anyway, that I think is so vital for any kind of company to understand and then survive in today's modern environment. So I can understand that maybe that definitely does contribute something to the success that you've seen so far. And I want to know, speaking of the success you've seen so far, like, what's next on the horizon for you folks there at Boom & Bucket?
What's next? So we're kind of a year in. We're doing tens of millions of sales. We want to get to hundreds of millions of sales. And we'll do that by going nationwide. And so our supply side is regional right now. So we have amazing, we call them fleet advisors, working in territories to help large construction companies and rental companies sell their equipment on our platform. We want to scale that program across the nation.
Awesome. Well, I hope in some way anyone listening can get involved and help contribute towards that dream. And if they do want to get involved, they want to either get in touch with yourself, Adam, or keep up Boom & Bucket, what's the best way for them to do that?
So we love talking to folks who are passionate about this industry. And the easiest way to do that is go to our website. If there's a career that works for you, great. If you want to find me on Twitter or LinkedIn, do the same thing. On Twitter, it's IM_ASL, those being my initials. Or on LinkedIn, it's AS Lawrence on LinkedIn. And any of those, like, everybody has a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a family member, a relative that works in construction or agriculture. If these things resonate to you, we want to talk to you about building an amazing team and amazing product.
Excellent. Fantastic. Well, we'll include those links in the show notes. But otherwise, Adam, thank you for joining me today. And I wish you the best of luck with everything you're doing. And it sounds like you're really up to some great things.
Of course. Thank you, Samuel. I appreciate it.
Growing a company has many hurdles, from securing funding to expanding your business capabilities to ranking better on search. Each business challenge is uniquely complex. The solution to these challenges is growth-focused digital PR and marketing, and that is where our sponsor, Publicize, comes in. Publicize sets itself apart from traditional PR companies. It does not charge large retainers or churns out press releases, whether you've got a newsworthy announcement or not. Publicize builds businesses' online presence and gets high-quality PR and media coverage for startups and entrepreneurs who are priced out of a broken PR industry. What's more, listeners of Brains Bite Back can find the tools and resources they need to overcome common hurdles that many startups face when trying to generate long-term growth by visiting publicize.co/BBB. That's publicize.co/BBB. That is it for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. I hope you've learned something, and if you have benefited from today's episode, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, as these reviews really help us grow the show. You can also follow us wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. Just search Brains Bite Back and you will find us. We hope you join us for more episodes in the future, and until then, take care. Disclosure: this episode contained a client and Aspasio portfolio company.